Well, good morning again. I say morning again because we met down at the stables this morning for the Wrangler's breakfast. I had to check, make sure it was still on because it had been raining, but it was on this morning. And I want to thank all of you who were signed up for the Wrangler's breakfast but didn't show this morning. We went through 150 eggs this morning. And I think it was 6 bags of hash browns. I think that's about 18 pounds of potatoes, all right? And we ate it all. We had a great time. By way of reminder, I want to let you know that the book we have called All We Like Sheep is still available, all right, for this morning and this morning only. You get this book plus the 3 CDs containing 180 teachable moments. Total value of $50, but this morning, shipping included, you get the whole package for $20. And this morning only, we will double that offer. We will double that offer, and you can have 2 books and 6 CDs for the total sum of $40. They'll be available right over here after the session. Also, I've been asked a number of times about Harvest Home Farm and what we're doing there at the farm. We have a farm. It's a 160-acre farm, and our motto is where faith and families grow, and our purpose is to serve families, help families reconnect with one another, help families reconnect with their provisions, and ultimately reconnect with their provider. We're a small operation, dealing mostly with just one family at a time. It's a little different type of ministry than a place like Fort Wilderness. But we have had a couple of families come. You know, that's okay too. But it's a small operation, and so we plan our schedule after our guests arrive. And we basically do what they want to do. If they want to pick blackberries, they can pick blackberries. If they want to pick blueberries, they can pick blueberries. If they want to pick red raspberries, they can pick red raspberries. And if they want to, they can pick all 3 of them. They decide when they want to get up in the morning. We don't have a food service, so they decide what they want to eat, and they prepare their own recipes. It's a pretty reasonable kind of thing. We ask for a donation of $50 a day for the family. All right. And so if you want to check out more about that, just go to harvesthomefarm.org. That's our website. I've got business cards over there that you could get that information. Make sure that you don't go to Harvest Home. That's a cult out in California. It's Harvest Home Farm. And we would be glad to tell you more about what we're doing there. You see, we got our experience, Mike and I, here at Camp Forest Springs and Fort Wilderness and other places that we've been involved, and there have been some big ministries that we've participated in, and now we're dealing with just basically one family at a time, and there's something real special about that. Well, for this morning's lesson, we're going to need some volunteers. Some of you have found a sheet of paper, just a little strip of paper on your seat there, right there. And I want you to keep track of that because it's got a number on it. And we're going to be having a total of probably in the neighborhood of about 75 volunteers this morning. So if you've got one of those strips of paper, you are one of those volunteers already. Make sure you can read it. All right, because we're going to call upon you to read that. Maybe somebody can read it to you, and then you'll know what it says, but we're going to be using those a little later. Now, here's what the lesson this morning is all about. We find in Galatians chapter 3 that God preached the gospel. He preached the gospel to Abraham. Then we find in John chapter 8 that Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, And he saw it, and he was glad. So I ask you this morning, when was the gospel preached to Abraham? I ask you, when did Abraham see the day of Christ? When was it that Abraham rejoiced? Now, I'm going to suggest to you this morning, if you'll follow along very carefully, that this fits together perfectly just as God designed it. If you'll go back with me to the introduction back there in Genesis chapter 15, we'll begin to see when it was that God preached the gospel to Abraham, when it was that he saw the day of Christ. In Genesis chapter 15, we read there that God in himself invited Abraham to come out into an open place. It was at night, and he told him to look to the stars. And he said, Abraham, count the stars if you're able to count them, for so shall thy seed be. That's in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. And Abraham apparently did what God had asked him to do. In verse 6 of Genesis 15, Abraham evidently looked to the stars, he counted them, and he believed. It says there, and Abraham believed, and God counted, he counted that belief to him as righteousness. Now, what was it that Abraham believed? What I'm sharing this morning is what I have researched and studied and come to the conclusion that Abraham saw, heard the gospel, and he believed. And his belief in that gospel, his belief in seeing the day of Christ, was counted to him as righteousness. You with me? It says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness by faith. I'm going to suggest to you this morning that Abraham was saved in just the same way that you and I are saved. We hear the gospel. We believe in our hearts the gospel that has been spoken to us. And when we believe, we too are declared righteous because of that belief. But there is a peculiar thing. When you go back to Galatians chapter 3 in verse 16, Paul writes these words, talking about Abraham and his conversion at that point. He says, and he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now let's substitute Christ for the word seed, because that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying not to seeds as in many, but in seeds as in one seed, which is Christ. So God speaks to Abraham. He takes him out into an open space, and he tells him to look at the stars and count the stars. Now, to count means literally to name in order. That's what we do when we count. We name the integers in order. We say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We are naming the integers in order. So God tells Abraham to go out into the wilderness, in this open spot, look up at the sky, and he says to tell them in the order that they appear, count them, for so shall thy seed be. And Paul tells us that that seed is Christ. So Abram goes out, and he starts to name the stars in the order that they appear. He said, for so shall Christ be. And as he's naming those stars in the order that they appear, he believes. The supposition of what I want to share to you this morning is I believe that God presented the gospel to Abraham through the names of those stars and the meanings of those names. Now, before I go any further, we all know that the heavens were perverted at the Tower of Babel. When man began to worship the stars rather than the one who had created the stars. And today there is a perversion of all of this. We call it astrology. We call it horoscopes, where man believes that he can see himself in those stars. But those stars are not testifying of man. I believe that those stars are presenting the gospel and show Christ, who is the seed. Now, having set that groundwork, let me show you how it works. First of all, I need someone really bright, all right? Somebody that's got an aura about them, all right? Somebody who can serve as the center of our solar system, so to speak. And a guy this morning was said to be just that kind of person. So Jordan, would you come up? All right. And we're going to have Jordan be our son, S-U-N. All right. Jordan, I'm going to have you stand right here, and I want you to shine your light. Okay, shine it out so everybody can see your light. All right. So we got Jordan here as the center of our solar system. Now, I'm going to need somebody to represent the Earth. All right. Do you have a strip of paper? Yeah, well, then you can't do it. All right. I need somebody. How about somebody with initials MJ? Yeah, he's here. Come on, you can be the Earth. Come on, MJ. All right, you're going to be the Earth. All right. Now this is we're presenting what it was that Abraham saw, okay? Now, we got the sun here. MJ, you're going to be the Earth. And we are going to pretend that Abraham is right there on his nose, okay? He's right there on his nose. And so, all right, Abraham right there. Got it right there? That's Abraham. And he's looking right at the sun, all right? Don't get blinded, all right? But at this point, sign your light over here, son, all right? At this point, it would be what time of day? Noon, that's good, all right? 12 o'clock, because the sun is right overhead. Now, the Earth is going to begin to turn, all right? And as it turns, it appears that the sun is setting, right? And then as the Earth continues to turn, Abraham is still right there on his nose. And what time of day is it now? So it may have been midnight that God called to Abraham and said, go out into the open field and look at the heavens, look at the stars, and count them if you can. All right? So Abraham is right here, all right? And he's looking at those stars. I need some more volunteers, all right? I need somebody named maybe Scott, all right? If you come on up here. And how about somebody named Lisa? Lisa, you come on up here. And how about somebody named Danny? Danny, come on up here. And how about Carol? Carol, you come on out here. Okay, so Scott, I want you right over here. You're a bright and shining star in the sky. And Lisa, you're right over here. Another, don't fall off, okay? And Denny, you're another bright and shining star right here, okay? And Carol, you're a bright and shining star right here. And now I need some more. Chrisetta, come on up here. Chrisetta, I need another bright and shining star. And come on up here. And how about somebody named Gus? Anybody named Gus here? Is Gus here? He's in there. Get him, okay? And get Madeline out here. Now, okay, stand right here. Face the audience right there. Okay, now, where's Abraham? He's on his nose right here. And so at night he looks up into the sky and he sees in all of his glory these stars that are out here. All right. And he sees, hey, there's Scott, right? Right. And who's that?
I don't know.
It's Lisa. Yeah, it's Lisa, all right?
I didn't know Star Wars named that.
Or, you know, you're the Earth, right? You're not Abraham, all right? So you pretend to, okay, you speak out. And who's this? Is Denny?
Yep.
That's Denny, all right? Now, you understand that Lisa, that Carol here, in all of her glory, is still shining, right? But Abraham can't see her because he's right on this nose here. And by the time it turns around a little bit, all right, like so, the sun is shining and is blocking Abraham's eyes so that he can't see Lisa. Carol, Abraham would have not gotten the names mixed up, all right? And as he comes back around, it is noon again. How much time has passed? 24 hours, a day, all right? Now, as Abraham is going around and around, and around, and around, and around, okay? Now, he's facing this direction over here, and who is right above him now?
Carol,
all right? In all of her glory and that. And just as the sun is starting to rise, he finally catches a glimpse of Cressida, all right? Now, as he continues to go around and around and around, if you'll come up here, Madeline, and Gus, if you'll come right up here. All right, you're coming around here now. You're getting dizzy?
Yeah.
Okay, now, Abraham is still on his nose. The sun is still back over here, all right? And at midnight, who's over right overhead now?
Cressida,
right overhead, okay? And can he see Scott anymore? Can't see. Now, Scott is still there in all of his glory, but he can't see him, all right? Now, as he continues on around, and he continues on around like this, now, Madeline is right overhead at midnight. And he keeps going around, and there's more stars back here, and it keeps going around and 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 going around. And he gets back to the same point where Scott is overhead at midnight, and how many days have gone by? 365 days, and he's gone all the way around, and he's back to that same spot, and when Scott appears to be overhead at midnight, he knows that a whole year has gone by. Now, you understand that Abraham didn't have a calendar. He didn't have a smartphone. All right? He didn't have those kinds of devices that we can tell time with. So he used the stars. So he knew the order in which the stars appeared. He knew that Scott was overhead, and then Lisa would be overhead, and then Denny would be overhead, and then Carol would be overhead, and then as he's spinning around, he would know that, you know, spring is coming because Cressida is overhead, and then he keeps going around, and he knows that summer's coming when Madeline is overhead, and there's Gus. You missed Gus, all right? And Gus says, hey, it's getting to be close to Labor Day, all right, when he's overhead, and then he comes all the way back around, and he keeps going around and around and around and around, and how long has gone by now? 2 years. Right? 2 years. And so he can keep track of the time and the months. He can keep track of the seasons by knowing the names of the stars. Now, I would guess that there aren't too many people here who know the names of all the stars that are up there because we use our smartphones, you know. Last night when it started to rain, they jumped on their smartphones, all right, to see if there were any showers in the area. Now, the smartphone told us that it was not raining, all right? But the drops on our heads told us that it was raining, all right? So who do you believe? We believe the smartphone, all right? So we stayed right out there. You know, that's the way it was. But Abraham, he had to count on the stars, all right? So give these guys a big hand. They've demonstrated it. You can have your seat now, all right? Now, There's a lot of stars up there. But Psalm 19 gives us some clues as to what stars are important. If you turn with me to Psalm 19, we read there that the heavens declare the glory of God. Their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. Let me say that again. Night to night reveals knowledge. God takes Abraham out to this open place, says, look at the skies. Name the stars. Count them if you're able to. And at that moment, Abraham received the knowledge that God had written in those stars. And when he received that knowledge, he believed, and that belief was counted to him as righteousness. It goes on. It says, there is no speech, nor are there words. Their voices is not heard. In other words, they are heard all over. The line has gone out through all of the earth. Their utterance to the ends of the world. Goes on to say, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, it rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, its circuit to the other. There is nothing hidden from its heat. In other words, there is a speech, a knowledge that is in those stars. And he speaks about there being a tent for the sun. There is a group of stars, a band of stars. It's called the Maseroth, and they are in the path of the sun. Now, obviously, when the sun is out, we don't see those stars. They're still there, but the sun blocks out their light. But at night, in that same band where the sun has crossed the sky, those stars are the dwelling place for the sun. Now, a question came up as to who named the stars. Well, you know that Adam named all the animals. God brought them to him and he gave them name. But in Psalm 47, it says clearly that God himself named the stars. Now, he created those stars, and I believe he named those stars even before he created Adam. So the names that he gave those stars were his plan for all eternity. And that's what I want you to see here this morning. Now, what I've done after a lot of research, we've gone back to the most ancient of star charts, and we have pulled off the names of those stars, most of them in Arabic and early languages, and we've looked to what the meanings of those stars, the names would be. Now, don't get confused here. We're not talking about the perverted meanings in the stars about your sign or horoscopes or of astrology. We're talking about the original names that God gave the stars way back in the 7 days of creation. And I want you to hear the names of those stars even as Abraham repeated them that night long ago. Now, to do this, I've printed strips of paper. They are numbered, and I have been able to put together 65 stars. Now, there are a lot more up there, but these 65 stars are only the ones that we can have a measurable degree of certainty that these were the names that God gave them, because the names are the same back on the ancient char starts as they are today. So here's what we're going to do. If you have number one, I'd like you to come and stand right here. If you have number two, I'd like you to stand right behind them. Three, four, five, six, seven. Come around the front here. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 50. And if you have 65, I want you to come and stand right over here. And then 64, 63, 62, 61, so that we can meet out here in the front. So we will have a band of stars, all right, a band of stars like the Maseroth, with the names of those stars that Abraham would have read, would have counted that night, right? Now, I have taken some liberty here. God said, my name is I Am. So I have put the words I am, where it's appropriate, in front of the meaning of the name of that star. Because if I told you the names of the stars, that wouldn't have any meaning for you. So we've written down the meaning of those names on those strips of paper. So God did this in less than a day, all right, when he created all the stars. We'll see if we can do it faster than that, all right? So, number one up here, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way through here to 65 over here. On your marks, get set, go. You'll be right there, yes. You're going to be right around in here somewhere. So get him in line, find out who's next to you. Do you see all these stars up here?
No stars in this line.
I ran out of paper over there. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, what numbers you got? Right over here? Right out here? No, we'll go right out here in front. You can check with the people right there. Okay, for those of you who are left out there, all right, we have a band of stars up here. You can all pretend to be Abraham. And God says, go out into the darkness there, look up at the sky, count the stars. If you can, for so shall thy seed be. And Paul tells us that that seed is Christ. Now, listen. As he starts in one spot here, and he begins to name the stars, and you will hear the meaning of the names of those stars, and we'll see at what point do you think that Abraham believed? Are you ready? Now, with a loud voice, I want you to read the meaning of the name of the star, and these are all in order now, we hope. Are ready?
I am born of a virgin.
I am the seed.
I am the branch.
I have two natures.
I am the longed for and the desired one.
I am the great shepherd.
I am the purchase price.
I am found for weighted in the balance.
You have been found empty.
I am the price that covers all.
I am the bright and morning sun.
I am the great conflict.
The rival and the sting and the bruise.
The rival, the charming serpent.
I am the conqueror.
I am the shepherd.
I carry a bow and ride a white horse.
I am a messenger of light.
I have come to destroy
the subtle dragon.
Two of them come together. I have come to destroy
the subtle dragon.
I am the scapegoat.
I lay down my life.
Abraham comes to this point, and he names a star up there that has the meaning, I am the scapegoat. I lay down my life. All right? And then it continues.
I am pierced.
I am covered with blood.
I am a wounded eagle.
I shall rise again.
But I shall rise again. Now, I don't know at what point Abraham believed, but he is hearing the gospel as he's naming those stars as they appear in the Maseroth. There is you're weighed in a balance and you're found empty, but he's the price that pays. He is pierced. He is wounded. He's a wounded eagle. He falls, but he will rise again. But there's more. Where are we? Okay.
I am the mighty one.
I am living water.
I will go and return.
I will bless the multitudes.
I will come swiftly.
There are two great groups of people. We are all broken, weak, and abused.
The branch will rescue.
The branch will rescue. You remember when God took Abraham and his son Isaac, and he said to offer his own son? And when they got out there, Isaac is asking, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham's answer was, God will provide. He had already heard the gospel preached that God will rescue. He had heard that and he had believed, and God counted that to him as righteousness. But it goes on. Who's next? Okay.
We will all become one flock.
I am the lamb.
I am pierced and bruised.
I am the three in one.
I will set the captives free.
I will tame the monster.
Who's next?
Where's your paper? See it. I am the charging bull.
I am the king and rightful judge.
I am the mighty one who comes quickly.
The earth is my footstool.
The earth is my footstool. You read that in Scripture, where God is going to place all things under the authority of his seed, the Christ.
I will protect my flock from judgment.
I am the one who is joined together.
I both rule and serve.
I both rule and serve. What did Jesus teach? If you are going to be ruler, you must be servant. If you'll be first, you must be last. This is preached in the stars to Abraham before the foundations of the earth, written in the stars, named by God himself, so that his plan is there, anchored in those stars for all eternity. Who's next?
I am both the prince of conflict and
the prince of peace.
I am both God and man.
I am two hiding places.
I have been gathered together into one.
I am a shelter for thousands.
I am wealth beyond measure.
I am waiting for he who comes.
I am the lion.
I am the judge.
We get back here. There's a star up there. Refers to it as the lion. And Jesus was the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he is coming to judge. And it says so in the stars. Read yours again.
I am the judge.
I am the exalted one.
I will pour out divine wrath on the evil serpent.
The ravens shall destroy his flesh.
I shall reign unchallenged.
I shall reign unchallenged forever and ever, written in the stars. And finally, we come to number one again.
I am born of a virgin.
So night after night, year after year, as each one of these stars would be right overhead, as Abraham would know them in the order that they appear, he would have known those, he would have memorized those, so that he could tell the seasons, he could tell the months, by looking at the stars, and God tells him to go out them and recite them all. And when he does, the gospel is preached to Abraham, and he believed, and God counted that belief as righteousness for him. Give these folks a hand, if you will. You can have a seat. Now, dear friends, you may ask, why do I take the time this morning to share this with you? Because the gospel is preached. The gospel is preached night after night, month after month, year after year. We are surrounded, and the heavens declare the glory of God. Now man rejected the light, preferring the darkness. They rejected the Son of God, preferring their own way to his way. And time after time, individuals have rejected the gospel. But that does not do away with his word, because those stars remain. And they declare the glory of God. You and I may not even know the names of them because we have become so disconnected from God's creation. But we still have the gospel being preached to us today through his word, that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever would believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. And it goes on in John 3, 17 and 18, and it very clearly states that he who does not believe is judged already because of their unbelief. But he who believes is not judged, because they have been covered by the righteousness of the Son of God himself. Even as the stars say, they are covered with blood. The stars tell us that there are just two groups of people. He's not talking about men and women. There are just two groups of people. He's not talking about the color of our skin. He's not talking about our age. He is simply talking about two groups of people, those who believe and those who do not believe. Abraham was part of the group that believed, and his belief was counted to him as righteousness. And as I look at this group, I ask, which group are you a part of? Are you a part of that group that's heard the gospel and believed? And know that your sins, though they be as scarlet, have been made white as wool. Did you all know that if you pour red Kool-Aid on that sheepskin over there, you can't get it out? OxyClean won't do it. Clorox bleach won't do it. But if that sheepskin is scarlet, you simply cannot get it white again. It's impossible. I think of Jesus when that rich man came to him and asked what it was that he could do to be saved. And Jesus said, well, keep the commandments. And the fellow says, well, I have kept all of those commandments. What is it that I should do to be saved? And Jesus said, well, if you truly want to do something to be saved, go sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. I'm convinced that Jesus was telling that young man there that there was nothing that he could do to be saved, because he went away sad. He couldn't do it. He was pointing out the fact that he was a sinner, and I would point out the fact this morning that all of you are sinners as well, and there is nothing that you can do to be saved. The disciples picked up on that. And Jesus had told them that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to go through to be saved. And I don't have anything against rich men, all right? I know a couple, all right? Some are friends. But they realized that it was impossible for a man to be saved on his own. And that's why Jesus responded, with man, it is impossible. Would you agree? But with God, all things are possible. I can't make that sheepskin white again once it's stained. But though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as wool. Because what is impossible for us is possible with God. We are numbered between one of two groups, those that believe and whose belief is counted to them as righteousness, and those who do not believe, and they are judged, not because of their sin, but they are judged because of their unbelief. Amen? So now, I would pray that you would see that from the beginning of time, this was the plan God had all along. And he revealed it, and he opened Abraham's heart to receive it, and Abraham believed. And my prayer for each of you here, everyone here, that we too might believe, and that that belief might be counted to us as righteousness, that we might be covered with the covering that makes us white as wool. Lord, I ask you to take these words this morning. I thank you for all the stars that were up here who shined forth and presented the gospel. May we go forth now, even as stars, into this dark world, and may we too share with others the things that we have heard, that your word might go forth, being spoken to all of those who would have ears to hear. Lord, I pray for each and every individual here that we might be numbered among those who believe. For there is one way and only one way to enter the kingdom of heaven, and that is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may your Holy Spirit interpret these things and apply them in our lives. I pray you'll convict those who need conviction. I pray that you'll encourage those who need encouragement. I pray that you will teach those who are searching for wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would tailor this message to each one in a way that they need to hear. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.